This is the Southern California Chinese American Oral History Project, jointly sponsored by the UCLA Asian American Studies Center and the Chinese Historical Society of Southern California. This is an interview with Lily Louie, taking place on December 8, 1980, at her residence.
Okay.
Let me get some information regarding your family background first. Where were your parents from?
Canton.
From Canton. Do you know which village or which part of Canton?
Our father was from the village Sunwood, and mother from Songsang, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Father was from the country,
mm-hmm.
and mother in the city.
Mm-hmm. And did your parents ever come to the United States?
They came, our father came previously alone before he was married in the late 80s to case, as it were, the opportunities. And he was here maybe 2 years or so or more and went back, married, and returned with his wife and the first child.
Mm-hmm. What did he do when he first came here in the 80s besides casing out the city? Did he actually have a job, and what city was he in?
I'm not too familiar with that previous time before he was married. After arriving here, it seems he went into produce. And I believe that he remained in that until the time when he moved us all out to the country to farm,
mm-hmm.
and to have a place large enough to raise his 9 children.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you remember when he came over with his wife?
In 1900.
1900.
1900. It must have been about the spring of 1900, because the child our mother was carrying was born November of 1900.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So he was involved in farming when he first came over here?
No, he was in produce.
Produce.
In the city, yes. He was very much involved in that. Had to arise very early, because you know the produce business begins in the early hours. They come into the city with their produce.
And was this in L.A.?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes, this is in L.A.
Right.
And his sister, small as she was, used to stand on tiptoe and take orders. She was only a child. The first one that could be old enough to help.
Mm-hmm.
And then that went on for, I guess we'd have to figure out how many years, because it was, the youngest was 9. The 9th child was born when we were moved out to the country. And then he struggled to farm, something he knew nothing about.
When you say moved out to the country, where did he move to?
To Artesia.
To Artesia.
Mm-hmm. That's in Orange County.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very close to where Knott's Berry Farm is now.
Mm-hmm. What kind of farming?
It's sugar beet, supposedly. The land was poor, and he was able to raise a vegetable garden for the table, for our needs, along with poultry, pigs, maybe a cow, much on the land. We were 28 miles or so out of the city. So we had to have most of our supplies available on the farm.
Did the children all help with the farming, those that were old enough?
Yes. And then in those days, there were the red streetcars, electric cars, that commuted and spanned out in different directions to outlying farms. And that was our means of transportation to come back into the city, where no doubt they made, trips were made especially to Chinatown to get supplies, Chinese groceries, and also to get supplies of clothing and whatever was necessary in bringing up such a large family. Mm-hmm.
Were there other Chinese out in Artesia at that time?
Absolutely none. Absolutely none.
Why did your father pick Artesia, do you know? Have any idea?
Well, I suppose it was lack of contact, or there was not too much available. And if there was, if there had been, one doesn't know. I mean, you just don't have the contacts. Maybe someone advised him, told him about this available spot. Anyway, he knew that his nine children needed something more than a city cottage. And so we're very glad he did, but it was really quite adventuresome and quite risky. Mm-hmm. But somehow, I think when you depend upon the land and being Christian, parents being both Christian, they felt that they would be taken care of. Mm-hmm. They had a faith, mm-hmm, and a vision. Mm-hmm.
Can we try to get a rough idea of when your father moved out to Artesia? Maybe it was between 10 and 20? He came over in 1900.
1900, and I was about 6 or 7. I'm 73. All right, I was born in 07. This could have been 13?
Yeah, okay.
About that.
1913.
13 or 14.
And how long did the family do farming out in Artesia?
I have to figure this out. Maybe not quite that long. Maybe just about two. Well, say about 6 years.
Six years. Okay. That produce market that he had before going out to Artesia, do you remember where that was located?
No, except that at that time it was either San Pedro Street, East San Pedro, it might be San Pedro, and there was also a center at Central Avenue, let's say 8th Street. It was on the east side there. Mm-hmm. Where today I think they're still at night in San Pedro, the big terminal, and also Central Avenue. Mm-hmm. It was not right in Chinatown. Mm-hmm.
Was he, did he own that produce market, or was he a worker in the produce market?
No, he was in his own business, he owned it.
Mm-hmm. Were there any children old enough to help, or did your mother help, or how?
Maybe our oldest brother was able, and as I said, the sister had to go to the phone. In fact, I think she mentioned doing that out in our teacher, but I don't think Father at that time had continued. So one older brother, and you see, this oldest brother would have been the one that had been able to tell you these things.
Mm-hmm.
He expired about 6 years ago. He was the one that was born in China.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't, it's a little sketchy from my view. I being the seventh.
You're the seventh?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You were born in 1907.
Mm-hmm.
In L.A.?
Right here.
Uh-huh.
We know the area. On Jackson Street. I think it's probably the backyard of the Southern Pacific, the Union Station, now called the Union Station.
Uh-huh. Okay. What did your father do after he left the farming business in Artesia?
He suffered an accident to a horse inadvertently kicked him, and he had a punctured intestine, and he expired very soon after. They didn't realize what was wrong. He expired very soon after, at the early age of 51, 52. So that was the end of the farming.
So then your mother was
left with all these.
Left with nine children.
Mm-hmm.
What did she do?
Well, fortunately, our oldest brother was able to take over. In fact, he rented some better farmland nearby, say about 5 miles away towards Compton, and farmed that for some time. Meanwhile, a couple of the sisters were able to come to the city to work, commute, while we younger ones continued grammar school there. Most of us went to Artesia Grammar School and graduated from there. And then the high school was in Norwalk, where the older ones went on to high school. Some of us graduated. Now the majority had to work, like the brothers, the older brothers, to help on nearby farms, milking cows, helping with chores.
Mm-hmm.
And we managed to, with the help of the sisters going to work, and whatever was earned from the farm, we managed to get through until in the 20s, when our brother felt a call to go to China. He had become affiliated with the engineering group that were interested in getting organized and going into China to build roads, which is so much needed, as everybody knew in China in those days. So he, I should see if I had known, I could have gotten some of these dates.
Which brother is this? What's his name?
This is the oldest brother, George.
George.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
The one that was born there. And some company that was formed in New Jersey. Engineering company, and he was to have been the secretary, I believe. So at this point then, farming was given up, and we were moved into the city. And the
city of
Los Angeles, right here. We never lived anywhere else. And then the brothers, the younger, that is, brothers between myself and he, worked in the produce for the big produce companies here. In fact, for Louis Produce, the originator of the Louis Produce Company.
Mm-hmm.
And they worked many years, three brothers at one time, I believe. And meanwhile, the family was kept together. Our older sister was home. And then the between ones were either working, or one was up at UC Berkeley. And throughout those long years, we were able to keep, to get the family together, the youngest ones, four younger than myself. But the thing we lacked was the basic education, academic education that every child needs. Instead, we were busy working. And I'm afraid we weren't too ambitious, because we could have gone to night school or filled in somehow, you know. But what we didn't learn in school, we learned in just experience in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Just earning a living,
mm-hmm.
getting along.
Mm-hmm. Did you say your parents had 9 children or 11 children?
11.
11 children. Uh-huh. And you
one more arrived in the country. And she is one today, back in the country, and enjoying the soil, tilling the soil.
Out in Artesia?
Yeah, she was there. No, now she's up in Newberry Park, which is just in Ventura County. It's just beyond Woodland Hills, I think it's called.
Mm-hmm.
And she's enjoying contact with Mother Earth.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So how many brothers did you have?
Five brothers, five sisters.
Five girls.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Okay. So after your father passed away, your mother stayed at home and took care of the family and took care of the house.
She was not able to do any sort of work.
Mm-hmm.
She had all these younger ones, several younger ones. But each one of the, even the young ones, not the very youngest, but the two brothers younger than me, all helped on the farm. And we girls did too,
mm-hmm.
and until our brother left for China. On weekends, we were taken over to this farm that was rented and helped.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where Mother stayed and kept house for the others.
Mm-hmm. What were your parents' names?
Louis Caron, our father, and our mother was Chung Chi.
Okay. And you said that you basically had your education here. You went to Artesia Elementary School,
mm-hmm.
Norwalk High School. What about junior high?
Well, there was Compton High that was very brief. The years are very obscure, maybe a year or two at Compton High. And then after that, it was work for most of us. Now, the younger ones attended school here in this area. They were living west of Vermont. Miranda Junior High over here. Oh, one went to Polly. It's awfully hard to keep track of so many.
Mm-hmm.
Polly High.
How many graduated from high school out of the 11?
I don't think more than three or four.
Did any of the three or four go on to college?
Yes, this one, the youngest brother, in fact, went to Berkeley.
What did he study at Berkeley?
I don't know what he majored in exactly. Then the war came. And I really don't know what his courses were at Berkeley. But he was sent to India, the Second War. No, that was the First War, wouldn't it be? Anyway, two other brothers, there were three altogether who had served time, briefly. I don't think any went into battle.
Mm-hmm.
That brings us what to what year now? First War was 18?
Right, 1918, 1718.
If he is about near 70, he must have been in the First War. Yes, the Second War was to 45, was it?
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's it. In the meantime, we were together under one roof, about six or seven of us, from 30 to 40, approximately, right here in the city. And then from there, one or two, we get married.
Mm-hmm.
And that left my sister and I, and a brother or two, so we just separated because I didn't even find the place that was suitable for the many of us. And by this time, we'd become individuals.
Mm-hmm.
We got along very much better, not under the same roof. So consequently, my sister and I have stayed together for 40 years.
Really?
Yes. Stayed unmarried.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, only four out of the 11 that ever got married.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Five. And only one produced children.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that goes back, that is a natural. Reaction from having had to share with too many brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm. You wanted to be independent and be on your own.
Well, for one thing, we certainly did not contribute to overpopulation. We can't be. And every one of us who did not marry have never regretted it.
Mm-hmm.
We felt it was really an achievement.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the family name is not carried on, it was just too much of a struggle.
Mm-hmm.
So that brings us over the years, working here and there in department stores. One became a nurse, a very successful one. Studied and trained and worked in the San Francisco General Hospital until her death. And at that time, very little opportunities, very little. The only open field was perhaps minor, very modest jobs in department stores as what was called stock girls, keeping merchandise in order, checked, and so forth, to keep stock up. And then came the motion picture era, when Chinese pictures became popular, beginning with Good Earth.
Mm-hmm. That was 1936.
Six about, yes. And we were among the first we were free. We didn't have steady jobs to speak of, really. And we were just in, say, the age group there. So we spent many years. At times there were 5 or 6 Oriental Asian type movie productions going on. So we were kept very, very busy for a while. Of course, in between times, there might be months without. So in the meantime, we didn't wait. We would do extra work here and there, some, you know, helping friends or something. Always busy doing at something. And then the era of pictures would have its ebb and flow, and around about 48 or 9, I was asked to come to work in the casting office to cast the Chinese, call them in to send them to different studios when there was a need for them. While my Chinese was very poor, I hesitated. They assured me that most of the work would be done in English because there wasn't that much Chinese production. There weren't that many Chinese films being made. So that...
So did you work with Tom Gubbins?
Yes. Yes, we worked under him. There was no... What shall I say? There was no organization such as there is now in the casting office, where everything is recorded, and where the earnings are kept intact, so that one is eligible for Social Security or unemployment. And at that time, it was just done personally by this man. And then, soon after, the Screen Extras Guild was organized. Screen Actors Guild was organized. Then the Screen Actors Guild. And we were brought among the first members. And since now, it is all, what should I say, under the control or jurisdiction of the Screen Actors Guild, or the Screen Actors Guild, if one is a part-time, if one is an actor, a bit actor, you know, or a part actor. So we have now, it's been many, many, many years, and it was very hard work. Long hours.
How many members of the family worked in the movies?
All together, at one time there were three girls. And occasionally, when they needed more, they would go outside the guild, as it were, and allow what they call waivers to come in. And they might spend a couple of days or so. But it was difficult for them because it was monotonous and more or less a waste of time spending so much time just waiting for things to be put into order, for the company to be ready to shoot. But we are grateful to have had that opportunity, and it was our major source of livelihood at that time.
Mm-hmm. And at that time, you're talking, I guess, about the late 30s and early 40s. What mm-hmm. would an extra have gotten
very
for
little,
a day's work?
Very little. To begin with, Tom Gubbins' days, we got as little as $3 and $5.
For a day's work?
Yes.
How about somebody with a bit part, or more than a bit part?
Well, it gradually expanded. When the guild came into effect, perhaps $10 a day, 13, 14, and up 20, 25 and up today at 68 basic. And of course that was all computed with overtime, benefit of overtime, and if one wears their own wardrobe. Sometimes there were location jobs where one went out of the city, and that would be arranged according to accommodations and time spent actually working. Of course, there wasn't very much of that.